Up, you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Makai Watch is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Tahiti Nui Luau. Heaven on Earth starts the Greenery Cafe.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Mahalo.
Heaven on Earth starts here. Organically grown, GMO-free vegetable starts available at Hoku Foods in Kapa'a, Kauai Seascapes Nursery in Kalihiwai Ridge, and Saturday Morning Market next to Kauai Mini Golf. More information at heavenonearthstarts@gmail.com.
The Greenery Cafe in the heart of Lihue, one block off of Rice Street on Akahi Street, serving flavorful and organic soul food, wraps, smoothies, herbal iced teas, desserts, and vegetarian meals. Located in the lush garden setting near Tip Top Cafe, call-in, takeout, and catering available. Open Monday through Friday for breakfast and lunch. The Greenery Cafe, hearty, healthy soul, 246-4567, or online at thegreenerycafe.com.
Mahalo Tahiti Nui Luau, Heaven on Earth Starts, and the Greenery Cafe for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel alone, singing a song side by side.
Aloha, and welcome to Makai Watch, a program about the aina, defined as that which feeds us. This program focuses on information and opportunities for community involvement in the stewardship of our resources on Kauai. Makai, toward the ocean, as all things flow to the sea, and the sea is connected to you and me. If you're interested in volunteering for the Hanalei Makai Watch program, please contact us at 826-1985. I remind you that the Hanalei Makai Watch program publishes the Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, now in its fourth printing. We hope you're enjoying your copy of the 2015 calendar. If you have comments about the content of the calendar, would like to see something different next year, please call us. Again, 826-1985. My name is Maka'ala, and I'd like to thank KKCR for providing this program and Dove today for engineering it for us.
Yes, aloha.
We'll be happy to take your calls after we've introduced our subject for today. You can call us at 826-7771. So, today we have a special guest, and he's somebody that I've sort of watched come up through the ranks a little bit. Luna, are you there?
Aloha. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi. Hey. You're on the air.
Hi, Luna. Thank you for calling in today from Oahu. I don't know how wet it is on your part of the world, but this studio is in the middle of a jungle, and it is wet here. You're better off over there, I think so, today.
I don't know. It's kind of hot and humid over here, too.
Oh, dear. No more breeze. So before we get started, I'm going to introduce Luna as the statewide Makai Watch coordinator with our Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources. And for those of our listeners that are not in Hawaii, not from this place, because we have listeners from all over the world, I want to explain that Luna will call me Auntie. We are not blood related. It is a word of respect and between Luna and I, long and deep aloha. So, aloha, Luna. Thank you for calling in.
Aloha, Auntie Maka'ala.
So, Luna, you are the statewide Makai Watch coordinator. I think there's a lot of people that didn't know we had such a person. What is Makai Watch, and what do you do for it?
Okay. So Makai Watch has been around for a while. It started off as kind of like a grassroots type of pilot project in the 2000s. And then in like about 2005, the Land and Natural Resources started to partner with some of those communities that were becoming Makai Watch communities and programs. And the program is a way for DBNR to engage with communities. So it lets the aquatic biologists and the enforcement officers the opportunity to work with community members and volunteers and kind of train them on these are the rules and regulations of the areas. This is some of the outreach and education that you can provide to some of the visitors here. And if you do happen to see a violation, this is how you would report it to the enforcement officers and compile that information so that they can use it to either provide a warning or to cite those that are violating natural resource regulations.
So they're not a replacement for the Department of Land and Natural Resources Division of Conservation and Enforcement. They are helpers. They are volunteers. They are supporters. Now, some people are paid. So you as a statewide coordinator are paid, and you're functioning within which department?
So I work within the Division of Conservation and Resources Enforcement, so the enforcement arm of DLNR.
Okay. And again, I want to emphasize the fact that, as with many good things, this one started at the community level. So folks in communities said, we see a need. We want to help the state. We want to help the local enforcement. We want to help educate and provide outreach to people who might not know the right thing to do and the right way to behave in our environment. Now, this program is called Makai Watch, and when it was first designed, it was Mauka Makai Watch. So Mauka means to the mountains. So it was to... it was to involve both of those aspects, right? Ridge to reef.
Yes, ridge to reef. We wanted to incorporate the whole Ahupua'a concept into this this type of working with the DLNR and communities, not only just in the marine environment, but also with the Mauka and the forestry as well. But what happened was we didn't have the capacity at the time, and the aquatic researchers stepped up and said, hey, you know, this is something that we would like to push forward and move forward with. So they kind of took the lead on moving the Makai Watch program forward, and that's why it started to focus more on that Makai component.
You know, I suspect, although I'm not as, I certainly don't know as much about it, that in many parts of the world, including on the continent, that there are voluntary programs to help people like rangers and other kinds of law enforcement take care of their places. I'm sure this isn't unique, but for us here in Hawaii, calling it with a Hawaiian name and having it focus on the fragile ecosystem that we have is critically important partnership stuff. You know, this is how the work gets done. It's never going to get done by government alone, and I would say that's probably a good thing. How do you get to be a Makai Watch volunteer? It's not just going out to the beach and telling people to get off the sand, right?
No. It's kind of a process. This is now an official state program, so with an official state program comes standards and requirements, making sure that the program is liable and legal in its aspects. So there are requirements now that communities have to abide by, or at least be compliant with, to become an official Makai Watch community. So some of those is having a Makai Watch coordinator, somebody on the ground who is coordinating both the volunteers and the different projects on the ground who can coordinate back to the DLNR. And these requirements came from lessons learned. Another lesson learned was those communities that would like to participate in Makai Watch need to be able to conduct business. So they have to either be sponsored by a nonprofit that can conduct business or be a 501(c)(3) themselves. And that just comes from the ability for them to go and apply for grants and receive funding and just be able to have a way to fund themselves. So that was another lesson learned. And these are requirements that will help these communities be able to stand alone on their own once they become compliant and more provide more capacity for themselves.
And then there's the issue of once you're set up, you have to have certain things in place, not just your nonprofit status and the ability to run the show.
Right. So we just finished our Makai Watch volunteer training series. So that was a training series. All Makai Watch volunteers need to be trained. And when we had the training, we would come on and tell folks, you know, as a Makai Watch volunteer, you serve as the eyes and ears for the Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. We are not deputizing you. You do not have enforcement authority. So these are some of the things that we were sharing with folks, that they really are just there to observe and kind of record things, and let the officers be the ones to engage and interact with those violators, so that there is no PDQ between volunteers and the beach goers or resource users.
Yeah, and I will say that for Hanalei, there's a volunteer handbook that's nearly complete, and it includes information for volunteers to educate themselves. We love to have volunteers. We love to have people interested come and want to help with the program, but this isn't a program that they can step into and not know anything about the place. So we provide background, we provide some history, we provide the names of the mountains, the names of the rivers, and help a volunteer know the place and know where they are. Because if you're standing out there, especially in Hanalei on the beach, you're going to get all kinds of questions and inquiries that have nothing to do with your human use observations or monitoring. And so you need to be prepared for that. And also, it also addresses some of the legal pieces. It's you're representing a statewide program, and you have to do so in a business-like way. You can't be saying just anything that occurs to you. So the other piece of that is monitoring, and our Makai Watch volunteers in Hanalei do two things right now. They're not doing a whole lot of enforcement support, but they are doing observations, what's going on where, human use stuff, and they are doing some monitoring. And the monitoring might be, it might be some water quality work, it might be snorkeling and looking at specific places, it might be paying attention to specific marine life, it might be counting cars. Whatever it is that the Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement needs help gathering data. So I assume, Luna, then different places, Makai Watch can mean very different things.
We have eight different communities. Is it okay if I just go and share?
Sure,
what?
Sure.
Is it okay? So we work with eight different communities right now. So we have Haena on Kauai, your guys' neighbor over there. And their main focus right now is the community-based subsistence fishing area rules that they got through the land board and is sitting on the governor's desk, hopefully waiting to be signed. But that's their main focus right now. But they see Makai Watch as a way to help educate and provide some of the upcoming rules that are going to be in place as a way for them to, like, help educate folks on those rules. We have you folks in Hanalei, and you guys are a good example of the Malcolm-Makai relationship, because you guys have the watershed hui along with your Hanalei Makai Watch. So you guys kind of informally have that Malcolm-Makai Makai Watch already. On Oahu, we have Pupukea and Mauna Lua. Up in Pupukea, they have the Marine Life Conservation District. They also run, so they just had a summer, or they're in their summer class right now with their youth. So we had some of our dual care officers go up this past Friday and share some of their outreach and education from the enforcement perspective. In Mauna Lua, we were starting to pilot some projects with the enforcement officers and the Makai Watch volunteers, and just starting to build that relationship. And then we started to engage some of the commercial users and the commercial operators in the area, because that's some of the main focus over there, is that there's a lot of commercial operators and entities operating over there, and they just wanted to start to build that relationship. So Makai Watch was the way that we started to reach out to them and engage them and bring them into meetings to sit down with dual care officers and the boating and be like, hey, you know, like, these are some of the rules and regulations that we've seen out there being violated, and we just want to update you guys and let you know that this is what's happening. On Maui, we have Kaanapali. So Kaanapali is very interesting and unique, because they're one of the first herbivore management areas. So you're allowed to fish for any species that is not an herbivore. So manini, surgeon fish, enenui, uhus, those are all prohibited there. You're not allowed to catch them, but you're allowed to go and get veke, papio, mempachi. So it's an interesting and first of its kind management, and a lot of fishes there are starting to understand that, hey, we can still fish here as long as we're not fishing for the herbivores.
And why is that? Because they want what?
So the herbivores are there, and we explained to the fishermen in this way, the same way that you put goats out in your yard to kind of like lawnmower the grass, these herbivores are out there lawnmowing all the leaves. So they're making the pukas open up for fish to go and hide in. They're kind of controlling the growth of the limu so that it's not overgrowing all the corals out there, and it's keeping the houses and the pukas for the fish. So when you explain to a fisherman like that, they're like, okay, we understand. We know what goats do. And when you kind of make an analogy like that, it helps them to understand that that's what's happening in the ocean.
Yeah, and you know, that's a key aspect and component of Makai Watch. It's that education piece. These are not just deputies out there trying to, you know, throw their power around. This is about taking the time and having the information to let folks know the whys and the what fors and the how comes that the enforcement guys don't have time for. I mean, they love to do it, but there's so few of them, and it's time consuming to have somebody be able to really explain to you how come you have that rule like that. And it makes good sense. When you explained it just now, that makes perfectly good sense. You want to keep the limu and algae and stuff under control to keep the reef healthy and in balance. And you need those fish. They're part of the system. Okay, cool. So then you have?
So on the north coast of Maui, we have the Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit. So this is a Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement pilot model where they kind of took all the different comments that have been coming from around the state about, hey, we need to focus on just a marine component. And they built a marine component unit where it was a 13-mile coast, and they provided 3 officers dedicated to that area. Along with that, they also incorporated the Makai Watch program. So there is a Makai Watch coordinator along with this unit because they felt, you know, if we're going to make this pilot model, we want to include Makai Watch because it has been successful. And that's the kind of way that we would like to engage with communities. So there is a Makai Watch component along with that Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit. And they're getting started. One of the main things that we share with people is that this unit has provided fishing compliance. So usually when people say, like, oh, when DoCare shows up or enforcement shows up, people just leave the area, right? So then DoCare presence is there, people leave. But this unit showed that it changed the statistics from having violators to having fishers who were compliant. So it's not like the fishers were just picking up and leaving and going somewhere else. They were staying in the area, but they were being compliant with the rules and regulations. And that just happened because these officers were there showing presence and building that relationship and being able to talk to them. So it was a good example of what you said, you know, like when officers do have the time, they can build that relationship. But when they're not there, a Makai Watch can step in and fill that puka.
That's fascinating. I don't think many of us know about Ka'ehu. It'll be very interesting to see how that pilot goes.
Yep.
I know that there's some private funding involved in that as well, right?
Yes. And actually, those folks that are funding that project are the same ones that fund my position. So my position is private funded by that same organization that provides the funding for this DoCare pilot as well.
Well, that's interesting. So folks need to know these are not your tax dollars at work. This is private funding that sees a need and partners with the state to provide opportunities for options for projects and programs and pilots and models that might show a better way to go and hopefully prove itself to be so effective that it will be incorporated into the regular state budget. We should all be kind of watching for that. And then next you have Puakou.
Puakou, yes. So we have Puakou, that's on the northwest coast of Hawaii Island. And they're a coral watershed priority site with NOAA. So NOAA actually helps to provide some pilot projects and fundings in that area. And they're also one of those that is lucky that they have both a coral and a watershed priority site. And then the final community that we work with is Kaupulehu. And this group, they just started to propose some rules and regulations that they would like to put through start to work the process with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. So it's a good time to start with the Makai Watch and start building that education piece while they're starting to build these rules so that when the rules do go in effect, or if they, whatever rules do go in effect, they'll have this education already built. with the communities, the fishers, the different stakeholders in the area.
Hmm. Yeah, I know they're proposing resting some species and some fishing just to give the place a chance to recover and recuperate and come back to the bounty that most of the residents from that area remember in our lifetime. This is not that long ago that it was just abundant there. Okay, so we've talked about the opportunity that these communities have taken to establish a Makai Watch program, and we need two things from you. We need to know how to get a hold of you. What if a community or a group of folks in a community is listening to us and saying, you know, that sounds like something that we would be very interested in? So the first thing they need to do is talk to you.
Okay, so my email, you can take my email. It is edward.l.kikoa@hawaii.gov.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. That's how you get my email. You can email me. And the second thing is, if you have any questions or want to know more about the program, we also have a website.
Okay.
Which is dlnr.hawaii.gov/Makai Watch.
dlnr.hawaii.gov/Makai Watch. And actually, that's a really good website. I actually use it to refer to periodically for overall descriptions. If a community is interested in participating in this program, wants to become a Makai Watch community, sounds to me like the first thing they need is some sort of an entity, a nonprofit that can acquire funding to support itself. So the state's not going to send you a big check to get started.
No.
Okay, so for Hanalei, I'll let folks know that the funder up until December of this year has been the Fish and Wildlife Service Coastal Program, and they have funded us for 5 years. It's a small little grant that we've spent about $1.98 at a time so that we can stretch it out. So there are options, there are places and foundations and things like that, but you can't accept that money unless you are your own 501c3 or nonprofit, because the state's not going to be able to accept that funding for you. So you need to be a nonprofit, need to be independent, and then need to inform yourself about what Makai Watch is and is not, can and can't do, and then get in touch with you, right?
Yep. And I will say that there are communities out there that are waiting in line. There's a lot of communities that would like to become a Makai Watch partner, a Makai Watch program. And so part of the way that we, because it is a limited process right now, but DoCare wants to open the door, so they're like, you know what, we can provide the training that we provide to the Makai Watch communities and invite the different communities that are interested so that they can start to see, okay, this is what we're interested in, this is the homework we need to learn, this is kind of what we need to start keeping track of and how we can monitor and build our program, so that when it is time and they're knocking on DoCare's door, it's not like, okay, we're ready, but we don't have anything. It's like when they show up to DoCare's door, I say, okay, we're ready. We have all of our awareness raising outreach materials. We have our handbook. We have everything set. And all you have to do is just provide us with the paper or a yes to say, okay, we can be a part of the Makai Watch program. We're ready to work with you folks. What can we do?
Yeah, that sounds like it. If you come prepared and ready to go and your ducks in a row, then it's easier for them to say yes. Do you have any that are about to become, or what is the status of the queue where folks are just?
So right now, because we have all of our communities are working on their compliance, so we're trying to get them compliant, because once they are, they meet these standards and requirements, they can go into an official memorandum of agreement with DLNR, so that they'll have a document saying that we are an official partner with the DLNR at the Makai Watch community. And then DoCare will monitor that relationship for about 6 months and be like, okay, you know, they're good. They've been turning in their monthly reports. We don't have any issues with this community. They've been providing the evaluations and are complying with all the requirements. So to us, they're an MOA-compliant community, and once DoCare feels that it's appropriate, they'll be like, okay, this one can you know, stand alone, they're good. We can start to work with the next community that wants to come through and start to build them up in the same process. So as we get communities compliant and with their MOA, then we'll start to take in more communities. DoCare doesn't want to expand past 8 because my position is privately funded, and they're like, if we lose that position, these communities are just going to be stagnant again, and they don't want that to happen. So they're like, with 8, we can handle that with this one position, and if my position gets funded by the legislature in a every year manner, they'll feel more comfortable to open up and to like start taking on more communities, engaging more communities. But until that point, until we can get this position funded by the legislature, they're cautious of taking more communities.
Sure, that makes good sense. So one of the things that we ask our government partners, and state and county and feds as well, is that you let community know. Let us know when these potential bills come up for support, and ring our bells, and we'll come out and support it, because that's how the system works. You know, you have really good ideas, but the communities that say they want it need to stand up and speak up for it. So at the moment, it's privately funded.
Yeah.
Or in my case, in Hanalei, we had a little funding from Fish and Wildlife Service. But so every community can find its own funding, but the funding for the state overall is privately funding, and the funding for Ka'ehu, which is an experimental pilot model, is privately funded as well.
Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else that we have not talked about that you want to be sure to mention or say? And I'm going to tell folks that his email again is edward.l.kekoa, K-E-K-O-A, at hawaii.gov. And the website again is dlnr.hawaii.gov/Makai Watch. I think that's fairly simple. And if you're interested in the program overall, please contact Luna. If you're interested in the program for Hanalei, you can call us at 826-1985 at the Hanalei Watershed Hui, and we'd be happy to answer your questions or get you in the loop for volunteer training. Anything else, Luna, that I've forgotten?
No, that sounded good, Auntie.
Thank you, Luna. I look forward to seeing you soon, and thank you so much for calling in and taking time out of your day. I know that all these 8 communities keep you jumping, and we appreciate you very much. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome, Auntie. You take care.
You too. Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, folks, so we're going to take our mid-show break, and the quiz question for today, and if you miss this one, you're really not paying attention. What is Makai Watch and how can you participate? That's our quiz, and there's a prize. So you call 826-7771, and we're hoping that Mr. Engineer Dove remembers what the answer is, but we know that he does because he was listening very intently.
On a coconut island, I'd like to be a castaway with you. On a coconut island, there wouldn't be so very much to do. I would linger a while and just gaze into your lovely eyes of blue. Then I'd walk for a mile and come running back to be with you. There, the waves would make a pair of willing slaves of you and me forever. And for days and days and days, we'd never gaze out where the ships go sailing by. On a coconut island, I'd like to be a castaway with you. On a coconut island, where we could make our dreams come true.
On a coconut island, I'd like to be a castaway with you. Ooh. On a coconut island, there wouldn't be so very much to do. Ooh. I would linger a while and just gaze into your lovely eyes of blue. Ooh.
walk for a mile and come running back to be with you. Then the waves will make a pair of willing slaves of you and me forever. And we'd lace for days and days and never gaze out where the ships go sailing by. On a coconut island, I'd like to be a castaway with you. Ooh, just to bask in your smile and to realize my dreams come true. Slaves of you and me forever. And for days and days and days we'd never gaze out where the ships go sailing by. On Coconut Island, I'd like to be a castaway with you. Coconut Island.
Mahalo, that was a perfect musical interlude. Hope we didn't steal a song from Richard later. That sounds like one that he might actually play, right? Okay, so the second half of today's show, I have a few items to just remind you of, and I apologize for our listeners, to our listeners for from other places. Some of this is very Kauai specific, and some of this is very Hanalei specific, but maybe you'll find it interesting as well. Again, if you want to call in to the show, it's 826-7771. If you want to speak to me later at the Hanalei Watershed Hui, it's 826-1985. I want to remind folks that the Hanalei Watershed Hui has funding available very soon from the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and the State of Hawaii Department of Health, to pay for part of your cesspool replacement. If you are an owner-occupied resident of Hanalei, we can pay up to $15,000 for the cost of a cesspool replacement with an upgraded wastewater system. It's not actually a septic system. It's more advanced than that. And the average cost of them was about $30,000, so we can pay up to $15,000. If you have a vacation rental, we can pay up to $7,500, but we can only do three of those. We're trying to make this program as much about residents as we can, and there is a list of prioritized locations. We're focusing on those wastewater systems that are adjacent to waterways or in low-lying areas, those that are impacting the water quality of the river and the bay are our top priority. So if you're interested in participating in that program, again, and call us at the Watershed Hui, 826-1985, and we can explain the program to you in a little bit more detail. Also want to remind folks that we are now in our hurricane season, and if you are not prepared or have any questions about what you might need to be prepared, Elton Ushiro, who is our civil defense manager for Kauai, asks you to ask him. Give him a call. And he is at 241-1800. We are expecting to have a very active hurricane season this year versus what we saw in 2014. The water is very warm, and it makes a very good engine. And the single most important thing that folks can do is to be prepared. Whether you're a resident, a visitor, a business, or an NGO, be prepared. And don't forget to build your disaster kit. All of that information is on their website as well. But it's also in our Hanalei Tuhaena Disaster Resilience Plan, which is on the Hui's website, hanaleiwatershedhui.org. It's an excellent reference for preparedness, but also provides a lot of information on what to do after the storm, which is a key piece of surviving and being resilient, the ability to bounce back. Okay, changing the subject once again, but back to Makai Watch. There is currently a proposal by the County of Kauai to change some of the rules for Hanalei Bay related to commercial water sports, and those include both surf schools and the stand-up paddle instruction. This isn't about the people that rent a board or have a board and go out there. This is about those people that are there because they're customers of a business. This is the commercial piece. So the rules right now are no more than 32 students and 8 instructors in Hanalei Bay at any one time. This is 8 permits that have been allowed, that have been issued, and they allow 1 instructor and no more than 4 students at any time. This, by the way, limit is not only part of the county special management area rules, but it is also the Hawaii administrative rules. So this is a state and county rule. You can operate this business from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday. No Sundays, no Christmas Day, no New Year's Day, and no Memorial Day. This, again, is for commercial users. So it's important that our Makai Watch volunteers know these rules, and they record, they monitor, they observe, and they take notes on who is where, when, and then we turn that in as a monthly report to the man you just heard in the earlier part of our show, to Luna, and that becomes our monthly report to the state. So that's the Makai Watch connection. For Hanalei, the park rules say that loading and unloading of passengers and equipment is allowed only at Black Pot. Now, the proposed change is county is proposing to change the park rules and would allow loading and unloading at Hanalei Pavilion and Waioli Beach Park at He'e and Anai parking lots. So that's the new proposal. If you have questions or concerns about that, you need to call the County of Kauai Parks and Recreation Office and share your concern or your opinion about that proposed change. In addition, there's no advertising, no soliciting, no renting of equipment at the parks, and no parking. Customers must be shuttled to and from the beach from a commercially designated parking area. So when folks are down there conducting business, excuse me, that's all fine and well, but they cannot put a sign up. They cannot go around and ask people if they want a lesson. They can't rent equipment and the parks, and their customers have to park wherever their business is and then be shuttled to and from. So not too many changes proposed, but the change is where. So their county is proposing adding the pavilion and Waioli Beach Park. For those of you that have observed some of the people there anyway, that's part of the deal. So they're some of the surf schools are really wanting to have a couple of other locations, partially because of where the surf is. Okay, so commercial boating. 5 permits allow commercial vessels, which must be certified to carry 25 or fewer passengers, to load and unload. No more than 30 passengers per day per permit. So this limits each permit to 2 trips a day. So these rules are in the Hawaii administrative rules, the state rules, and they can be changed by the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation. They're not in the parks rules currently, but they may be soon. At this point, they are the state rules. The Hawaii administrative rules also allows up to 2 permits for guided kayak tours from Black Pot Launch Ramp. So each permit allows up to 8 kayaks per trip, no more than 30 passengers per day. So if you're adding this up while I'm talking to you, that's a total of 7, 2 kayak permits and 5 boat permits. This number goes back to a plan that took years to develop and is called the Hanalei Estuary Management Plan. It's a really good, solid, well-thought-out plan with numbers that people worked on very hard for a long time. And the plan was due to be implemented the day Iniki hit, 1992, 9/11. So it never really got the publicity or the notice or the implementation that it deserved right away. But it is in place. It's never been rescinded or revoked. And the plan is good. It's one of those things that could be adjusted, amended, changed with time as the situations change and the impacts change. But for now, these numbers do honor the Hanalei Estuary Management Plan. Most of those rules and that plan particularly came about because of impacts to the Hanalei Estuary. The estuary is the, what in Hawaiian we call a muliwai. It is the river mouth, and then up to the limit or boundary of the influence of salt water. For Hanalei, it's very high up. It's way above the bridge, and it's actually well within the Hanalei Wildlife Refuge area. The salt water goes much further than most people think. And that's one of the reasons that we see so many marine life up that river. You might remember a few years back, a fellow actually caught a barracuda up there. But there's turtles and fish and all kinds of marine and seabird life up there because of that saltwater influence. And so that's the definition and extent of the estuary. And the point of the Hanalei Estuary Management Plan is to protect those resources of that estuary. The Hanalei Estuary is one of the largest in the state of Hawaii, and because it's not channelized, because it's a natural flowing river, it's very important habitat for a number of different creatures and critters, and so it's important that if we're going to conduct commercial activity there, that it be sensitive to the environment, sensitive to the place. Most of you know the Hanalei is not a harbor, it's a bay, and part of the bay is the estuary. And so nature first, these little critters were there before us, and it's our responsibility to be good stewards. So these rules all came from that discussion and that process and that priority. The current rules say for boating that they have to be shuttled there, that they cannot be parking in the area as well, that they cannot be they can't be just willy-nilly all over the place, that they have to pay attention to where their people go, that they have to not disrupt the area. They can go from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The boats also cannot go on Sundays. And we're hoping that that no Sunday rule, at least I'm hoping that that no Sunday rule sticks. I think it's important that residents of a place or people of a place have an opportunity where they know at least one day of the seven that their activities, their recreation, their family time is not in competition with folks who are there making a living. Nothing against people making a living, and there's certainly opportunities for that, but it seems to me at least that there should be a chance for local families to go down and not have to be in the midst of all of that. The boats can launch off of Veke Ramp and the sand spit if the river mouth is blocked. For those of you who live on the North Shore, you've noticed that the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation has installed some buoys creating an ingress-egress lane in front of the beach at Black Pot. And the reason for that is that the river mouth right now is very shallow. We're waiting for a big rain. Once we get a big rain, it will clear itself out. But for right now, it's very shallow. And so in order to prevent more damage to the estuary, and in order to not use the pier, which is not allowed for commercial uses, Joe Borden, our DOBOR, Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation Harbor Agent, an H-Kauai agent, determined that the best thing to do was to install this lane, ingress-egress lane, right in front of Blackpot, and it's working rather smoothly. The people, commercial users, are respecting the no-wake, and no-wake is huge in Hanalei. We have so many turtles and so many fish that those of us eat for dinner that the no-wake is a big part of how people should behave in the bay. The no-wake, by the way, is within 500 feet of the shoreline, the mooring area, or the Hanalei River. So no place in the river can you make a wake, no place in the mooring area can you make a wake, and no place within 500 feet of the shoreline in Hanalei can you make a wake. Why? Because we don't want anybody getting hurt, including the turtles and the fish. If you go over the top of fish, there's a school of fish. We've counted this. We have done this work out at Makua, and a kiteboarder or a windsurfer goes over the top of the school of fish, and he's only there for 10 seconds. He's whizzing past fast over the top of the school of fish. You would think, maybe, that there's no impact to that school of fish. In fact, when we did the data and watched the clock, it was 45 minutes before those fish reconvened, before they recollected, before they returned to that spot. So the argument is that you are impacting their behavior, you're changing their behavior, and you may be impacting my dinner. So those of us that eat fish for dinner ask you to please honor and respect the no-wake rule. It's there for a reason. It's not for nothing. And again, the boaters can't do any advertising, no soliciting, no parking customers in the park. And the ingress-egress for them, right now, as I described, there's a special lane that's been installed for them. But the ingress-egress is normally at the river mouth of Hanalei River so that they can use the veke ramp and in front of the pavilion. And there are buoys that mark that ingress-egress there. The reason for the one in front of pavilion is so that the lifeguards can assist and support if needed. So the boats that are out in the bay, the recreational boats that are there, the sailboats that come in, and Transpac, I guess, just left yesterday or is leaving today, which means they'll be here at the end of the month, they actually are supposed to use those ingress-egress. They're not supposed to come in to the beach between those two places. And the one we recommend is the one over by Pavilion. And the reason is the lifeguards are there so they can watch your tenders, your dinghies that they use off those recreational boats, which become a hazard if they're just strewn willy-nilly around the place. So there's reasons, and sometimes it's to the boaters' benefits to pay attention to those reasons. So, again, it's important to remember that you're supposed to be going in certain places. You're not supposed to be just going anywhere you want to. The ingress-egress is important. The ingress-egress at the river mouth when the river is too shallow. Recently, it's been very shallow, and the big fishing boats can go in and out, but it's harder for boats full of people. So it's kind of a special circumstance down there now, and Joe Borden has told us that he'll take that lane away as soon as the river mouth access ingress-egress becomes available again. The only other thing I want to make sure that you're aware of is there's no vessels are allowed to pick up, drop off, or access the Hanalei Pier. Now, when we have our fishing contest, that's different. They get a special permit from the state, and that is something that that is allowed and everybody is cool with. It's a wonderful event for the community and supports a lot of nonprofit endeavors. That's a different deal. But normally, no vessels are allowed to pick up, drop off, or access the Hanalei Pier. The other one is the two swim zones. So we have the Hanalei Pier on either side of it, 300 feet on each side of the pier, and 300 feet Makai of the low water mark. So when the tide is way out, 300 feet towards the ocean from there, is a swim zone. And no vessel can be operated or moored in the swim zone except for vessels engaged in small-scale surround net fishing without the use of motors or fishing and crabbing from shore and Hawaiian-designed outrigger canoes. It's one of those laws that gets passed in Hawaii that honors and acknowledges the cultural uses of the place. So if you're conducting fishing in the traditional surround style and you have a boat that doesn't have a motor, or if you have a Hawaiian design outrigger canoe, you can go through the swim zone. And ask you to do it carefully, because that's where the small children or keiki do swim. And in addition, there's no motorized vessels unless less than or equal to 30 feet in length and engaged in fishing are allowed within 300 feet of the swim zone. So they have to keep their distance. There is an emerging issue coming up, and I just want to bring it to your attention. Some of you are well aware that for the last couple of summers, we've had very, very large yachts, super yachts in the bay. One was July 2012. That was the Karima, which was 162-foot yacht. It was too big to come into the mooring area. It had a helicopter pad on the back, and they buzzed around. It had two big boats tending it, and it did a lot of things that bothered a lot of people. It was essentially an offshore transient vacation rental, a TVR. It was chartered. It was leased as a vacation destination for a wealthy family, and I'm sure they had a wonderful time, but we need to pay attention to the impacts of these big super yachts in Hanalei Bay. We've had another one last summer that wasn't quite that big, but again, we just really need to let the state know that this is our bay. It's not a harbor, and if it doesn't fit, then it shouldn't be there. If it doesn't fit and requires special permissions and special dispensations, then it doesn't belong there. If it can't fit in the mooring area, then it doesn't fit. And we're looking to our legislature to control the size of these large boats. In August of 2014, the 390-foot yacht was Super Yacht A was moored in the bay. And again, it didn't fit. So we ask you to get a hold of your legislators for next year and say, Hanalei Bay is not a commercial harbor. It's not Waikiki. And we need it to stay available for the fisher folk and for the children swimming and for the surf destination that it is. It doesn't need to be a destination for these super yachts. So I'm hoping that that will turn you on a little bit to some of the issues that are concerning us in Hanalei and certainly related to Makai Watch. I'd like to thank Luna Keikoa for being our guest today and talking a little bit about the statewide Makai Watch program. Again, I remind you that if you want to participate in the Hanalei Makai Watch program, you can call the Hanalei Watershed Hui at 826-1985, and you can visit the Makai Watch website at dlnr.hawaii.gov/Makai, M-A-K-A-I, watch. And that will get you to their website with good information about what the state overall program is all about. And there is, I want to remind you too, a Haena Makai Watch program. It's currently coordinated by Kavika Winter, who is the director out at Limahuli, and he can be contacted at Limahuli Gardens, or you can get a hold of me at 826-1985, and I will put you in touch with him. You can also contact me via email at makaala, M-A-K-A-A-L-A, at hawaiian.net. It's not Hawaiian Tell, so if it bounces back to you, that's the wrong guy. This is that little server that was started years and years ago, and I'm just not willing to give up the name because I just kind of like the romance of the name. And we're very grateful to KKCR for this program. This is a monthly program, and we've talked about making it more frequent, but this is the time that I have available at this point. Trying to get my act together for a monthly show is about all that I can handle at this point. But I do want to hear from folks about what they'd like to hear on the show. We've covered a rather wide gamut of subjects over the years, and we're very open to different subjects and maybe not something that's just Kauai based, although that's my home and so I know more about the things here. But we've covered things such as coral disease and shoreline setback rules and proposed legislation and Kauai seabirds. I hope you folks have said farewell to the albatross, if you had a favorite albatross that you were watching, because they are fledging wildly now. The two that I was watching are gone. So they're launched off into the Pacific for the next year. So mahalo, aloha, ahuiho.